my name is Beth Revis. I'm the author of Rebel Rising, and welcome to Star Wars Fives.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the inaugural episode of Star Wars Ties Presents Lando's Luxurious Library. I am your host, Jameson Stout, and this is a new show that I'm going to be doing as a filler between weeks of our regular show with my co-hosts Landon and Rob, but this will be a solo venture for me, so I hope you don't get too tired of hearing my voice as we dig into one of the original purposes of the Star Wars Ties podcast. If you go back and listen to our first episode from a few years ago, you'll remember that Rob and I were talking about how it was one of my goals to make sure that we had the opportunity to bring in listeners and readers and fans of the Star Wars universe to the old Expanded Universe books, specifically the Expanded Universe books that I individually kind of fell in love with that got me into loving Star Wars. So in order to kind of bring that original vision back into the forefront of this podcast, or at least into a part of the podcast, I felt like it might be a good idea to do a spinoff show that focuses on exclusively those books. The reason behind this, I think, is best explained by the fact that if I look at the episodes that we have done so far, the vast majority of our recorded material has been about new canon books, comics, movies, and everything else, and I don't think that it's worthy of us to ignore those new things that the Star Wars universe is presenting to us, because that is what's happening here and now. But it does give us the opportunity with this particular spinoff show to kind of dig back and go and see what the old EU did have and what it presented to us. So out of that particular idea and out of that goal, I'm able to birth this little spinoff show that I'm titling Lando's Luxurious Library. The reason for the alliterative title that I have chosen is because Lando is an old and new canon character, so he would be able to transfer over, and I know that eventually what would end up happening is, you know, assuming I recorded so many of these episodes, I would run out of old canon books that I'm familiar with, or eventually old canon books that were written, and therefore, you know, I would have to eventually involve new canon books as well for the Lando's Luxurious Library collection. So the goal is that I would be able to use a character, Lando specifically, that is in both canons and would allow us to kind of see, for a lack of a better word, his personal library collection, assuming he had one. We're taking into account, of course, that in Lando's Luxurious Library, he's going to have books of both the old and the new canons. So while we're going to spend most of our time initially in the old EU, I'm opening up the door for the possibility of dabbling into some new canon books and comics as well. And I'm not going to exclusively spend time in books. I will also spend time in some old canon comics by the Dark Horse and even perhaps the old Marvel runs from the 1970s and 80s. So it gives me a really good opportunity to kind of dig into some of these older stories and older books and older plots that have either been forgotten or adjusted to be reused in the new canon. So I'm hoping that I'll be able to kind of bring in some of the connections or ties, which brings us back to Star Wars ties, to that new canon material from the old canon as I dig into some of these older books. So that is the purpose behind the name. Aside from that, you know, the luxurious library part, I think it was appropriate to say that Lando was a rather wealthy member of the galaxy, especially since he was the administrator of the offices on Bespin, and it was indicated and intended to be shown that Bespin was a more rich location as far as the old canon is concerned. And we, of course, see that in some of the new canon material as well. You have Lando with his capes. You have Lando with the sleek Millennium Falcon before he takes it into the black hole in the new movie Solo. And also some of the things that happened in the old canon Han Solo trilogy that had him, you know, losing the Millennium Falcon to Han. So there's a lot of really good material for us to kind of dig into the fact that, you know, Lando Calrissian would have probably had a collection of books. So the way I envision this is kind of walking into Lando's apartment or house, and he's showing us off to his library. with the two chairs and the rustic fireplace, and the entire room is covered with all of the books of the Star Wars canon, and we just gonna get to draw a book off the shelf and get a chance to read it. So there will be some moments where Lando joins us in our introduction to his luxurious library as he welcomes us to it, and then I will introduce the book and then we'll go from there. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for sticking with me. I hope you enjoy our journey through Lando's luxurious library, and specifically our journey through exploring some of the old canon books that are in existence still available to us, and I will do my best to share links with you guys about where you can find these books now, even though in bookstores is still available for many places. Some of them are old enough, like the one I'm probably going to introduce today, where the internet might be the best place to look for them. So, without further ado, let's enter Lando's luxurious library.
Welcome, I'm Lando Calrissian. I'm the administrator of this facility.
Would you join me for a little refreshment?
Everyone's invited, of course.
Now, we have the opportunity today to dig into what I think is going to be probably the youngest book that I do with the old canon. It's a series of books that came out in the mid-1990s, and the reason I am choosing this book to introduce through Lando's Luxurious Library first is because, to the best of my recollection, this is the first Star Wars book that I ever read, and I can't think of a better book to introduce a new mini-series or spin-off series of my podcast than the first book that got me into Star Wars literature in general.
Hello, what have we here?
And that book is Star Wars Junior Jedi Knights, The Golden Globe by Nancy Richardson. Now, this book was originally published in October of 1995. It was provided to us by Boulevard Publishing, which was a subordinate company of the Berkeley Publishing Company from New York. It is, like I said, it was written by Nancy Richardson. The cover art was designed by a gentleman by the name of Eric J.W. Lee. The main characters of the book are Anakin Solo and a girl by the name of Tahiri. Now, before we get into the book a little bit, I want to give you some information about Nancy Richardson. Nancy Richardson was the author. She now goes by the name Nancy Richardson Fisher, and she still writes young adult books and actually has one scheduled to be released in October of 2019. So very excited to plug that book and give the opportunity for y'all to perhaps look her up. I'll provide a link to her website in the show notes for this episode. But in the mid-1990s, she was working as a freelance writer and was hired by Lucasfilm to write three books of the Junior Jedi Knights series. She wrote The Golden Globe. She wrote the sequel to The Golden Globe, which is called Lyric's World. And then the third book in the series is called Promises. These three books were written by Nancy Richardson and introduce us to an 11-year-old Anakin Solo. Now, Anakin Solo, as we can guess by the name, is the youngest child of Princess Leia Organa Solo and her husband Han Solo. In the old canon, they actually had three children. Jason and Jaina were twins, and they were about 2 to 3 years older than Anakin. And then you have Anakin Solo, who is the youngest of the three. In the course of the old canon, we are introduced to these characters quite a few times. Some of the more adult books introduce them as very small children that are being cared for. And what basically ends up happening, which is kind of an interesting continuity element of the old EU, is that the youngest books written that I am familiar with are the Junior Jedi Knight books, which came out in 1995 and 1996, and maybe even into 1997. And these books in particular were designed for, of course, kids probably 9 to 12, somewhere in that young 3rd, 4th, 5th grade, maybe even 6th grade age group. And it's very exciting, of course, for that kind of age. But chronologically speaking, as you got older and started to read the books that were geared towards older readers, such as the Young Jedi Knights books, which were basically about Jason and Jaina Solo and their adventures, and then the Jedi Academy trilogy, which was written by Kevin J. Anderson around the same time, you actually realize that you're working your way chronologically backwards. So what ends up happening is, to give you a brief, just kind of general idea about the Junior Jedi Knights books, Anakin Solo is being shipped off from Coruscant, his home planet, or the planet he's grown up on, to Yavin 4. And the reason he's being shipped to Yavin 4 is because that is where Luke actually hosts a Jedi Academy, and we'll talk about that here in a minute. And that Jedi Academy, in the old canon, was established by Luke shortly after Return of the Jedi. And the reasoning behind it as the chronological story of the old canon goes, is that once he established the Jedi Academy, he started to build a new Jedi Order. Within that new Jedi Order, fast forward about a decade or a little bit more, and you have Jaina and Jason Solo, who are obviously early preteens, 12, 13, 14 years old or so, and they go and become students at the Jedi Academy. And then their younger brother, a few years later, at the age of 11, would go and be in the Jedi Academy as well. So if you follow it from the age of children gathering into adults, you know, kids are going to read about Anakin Solo first, and then theoretically they would follow probably the track that I did. As soon as I was done with the Junior Jedi Knight series, I moved straight into the Young Jedi Knight series, which is the book series that focuses on Jason and Jaina. And then from there, I transitioned to the Jedi Academy trilogy, which is the adult trilogy that kind of gives you the background of how the Jedi Academy was established. So it does kind of give you a starting point, or at least it gave me a starting point, in the actual Star Wars storyline of the old EU. Now, there are a lot of people that would argue that there are other books that you should read in the old canon first, and I would not disagree with them. There are a lot of great ways to get into it, but this was, I think, the design of the publication companies at the time, was that they would get you interested in the Jedi Academy, making Luke kind of the hero and the old master and things like that. And then from there, after you read about his nieces and nephews, you would want to read kind of how he had established the Jedi Academy. And from there, you're already in the Star Wars canon of the adult line of books. And from there, you can travel whichever direction you want to go, past or future, of which there were many books with the Han Solo Adventures, the Han Solo Trilogy, and the Thrawn Trilogy, and so many others that were published by the time I would have gotten to these books. Warning. I do think it is fair to say that we probably need to include a spoiler alert before we actually introduce this book. Though, of course, with this spoiler alert, I do want to stress that I'm going to try to avoid sharing everything that goes on in the book in hopes that this will be more like a dust jacket reading, so that you get the opportunity to kind of be compelled to perhaps read the book. Now let's jump into Junior Jedi Knights, The Golden Globe. This was book one of six of the Junior Jedi Knight series. As I said, it was published in October of 1995. A basic plot, without giving away too many details, is that at age 11, Anakin Solo is selected to attend the Jedi Academy run by his uncle, Master Luke Skywalker. The Academy is on Yavin 4, in the same stone Masasi Great Temple that was the Rebel base in Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope. Like many early stories, kind of geared towards this age group, Anakin makes friends, and you kind of get the experience of a kid kind of getting started in school at probably a late elementary, middle school age group. Very much kind of like the Harry Potter begins. You're introduced to Anakin, and then very shortly after you're introduced to Anakin and him leaving his family, you find out who Anakin's best friend is going to be, his kind of cohort as he follows through the series. In this particular case, that is a blonde-haired girl who is around the age of 9 and consistently walks around barefoot because she refuses to wear shoes, and her name is Tahiri, T-A-H-I-R-I. They begin taking classes together, so you kind of get a little bit of experience reading the book and learning, you know, some of the things that they actually learned. Again, very much like some of the other books kind of geared towards this age group, going through the classes, kind of learning their lessons. And they are going to classes how to learn how to use the Force correctly, specifically how to use it for good. I would like to point out that one of the things that they actually introduce in this book is a Jedi Code. It is not the same Jedi Code that we are familiar with the prequels, but it does have a lot of the similar elements to it. Perhaps not the chastity and avoiding of romantic relationships that obviously is preached in the prequel trilogy so much, but there are a lot of elements of that original Jedi Code in here, and I find it interesting that, you know, we kind of get a different Jedi Code in this particular book. More specifically, I'll give you a chance to kind of hear it so you can understand exactly what it is. Luke describes the Jedi Code in the Jedi Temple for these kids. A Jedi's promise must be the most serious, the deepest of his or her life. A Jedi seeks not adventure or excitement, for a Jedi is passive, calm, and at peace. A Jedi knows that anger, fear, and aggression lead to the dark side, and a Jedi uses the Force for knowledge and defense and never attack. What I love about that is that it really is just basically a synopsis of what Yoda teaches Luke in Episode 5, of course, with a little bit of what you'd get from Episode 4 with Obi-Wan Kenobi. But it's fascinating to kind of see how Nancy Richardson, the author, adapts that into this particular storyline. Now, shortly after meeting Tahiri, Anakin and Tahiri have a reoccurring dream. Now, Tahiri reveals to us in the book that she's had this reoccurring dream for years, but never really understood what it meant because she grew up on Tatooine, being raised by the Sand People, the Tusken Raiders, as we know them, which is an interesting plot point that comes in some of the later books. But anyway, so she grows up on Tatooine and is dreaming of Yavin 4 and has no idea where this planet of water would have come from, and let alone how in the world, you know, a planet of water and jungle would be something that she would be dreaming about, because she has no idea what those things are. But she has this reoccurring dream, and when she tells Anakin Solo about it while they are at school, Anakin starts having the same dream, and they start to realize that it may be perhaps a force dream or some sort of destiny calling them to do something. So they start to try to make the dream a reality because they feel like that that's what they're being called or commanded to do by the Force, or by some Force, perhaps not the Force, at this particular point. What ends up happening is they end up exploring the Masasi ruins. Masasi is the ancient culture that would have lived on Yavin 4 before the Rebel Alliance got there and things like that. And these ruins are the temples and the massive pyramids and things like that, very much like what we see in the original movie and Rogue One now. So they begin exploring some of the Masasi ruins in the jungle of Yavin 4. In doing so, they discover some of the hidden mysteries of Yavin 4, which I'll leave as hidden mysteries in case you or your children wish to read the book. In addition, we learn that Anakin struggles with the fear of turning to the dark side, since he shares the same name of his grandfather, who obviously became Darth Vader. With this subplot, as well as a few others, like the backstory of Tahiri coming from Tatooine, this book provides a rather compelling storyline for that approximately 9 to 12 year old age group that I was talking about. It is a great intro into the 6-book series that kind of focuses on Anakin Solo as a, you know, a preteen, as an 11 or 12 year old. And it gives us a lot of opportunity to kind of see how these characters could be a part of the larger Star Wars canon, which they do become part of the larger Star Wars canon as the, you know, expanded universe grew in the late 90s and early 2000s before the Disney acquisition. So what I would like to point out as we kind of go through this is that I left a lot of things in the book open for you guys to read, because of course the goal of this is not to tell you every single detail that happens. Now, like I said, this one is aimed really towards the 9 to 12 age range, and I understand that most of my listening audience is probably adults, perhaps parents. So this might be something you would encourage your children to read if you wanted to introduce them into the expanded universe old, or perhaps if you would like to read it just to kind of see where the storyline goes with these particular kids, that gives you a chance too. Before I conclude our introduction to the Junior Jedi Knights book, The Golden Globe, I did want to point out a couple of connections or ties that I saw to what we see in the new canon. The first of which is that Tahiri grows up on a desert planet, Tatooine specifically. Though, of course, as the new canon explores, we get other desert planets, such as Jakku. And just like Rey, Tahiri has dreams of a water-based planet, or a planet with water and jungles on it, that obviously she would have never seen because she grew up on a desert planet, which confuses her as a child. And we see that same connection with Rey, as she has dreams about Octo before she actually travels to it. So we kind of get the opportunity to see some of these small points of the older story, the old EU, being kind of woven into the new canon. Whether or not that's intentional, I do not know. But I did find it interesting that in Kylo Ren. Now, we are all aware, of course, that Kylo Ren in Episode 7, Force Awakens, had a deep fascination with Darth Vader specifically, and was very curious about whether or not he was going to become like Darth Vader, and was striving actually to turn to the dark side to become like Darth Vader. And what we see in the Junior Jedi Knights book is that Anakin Solo is very much concerned by the fact that he was named Anakin. And because he bears the name Anakin, one of the struggles that he faces is whether or not he will be led to turning to the dark side. And one of the subplots is kind of trying to dig into his head and figure out whether or not that would become a reality in the future. And it's a very interesting subplot, and definitely, again, kind of leaves a little bit of that seed work for the possibilities that a grandchild of Darth Vader would be interested in perhaps becoming like Darth Vader, or maybe not be interested in becoming, in Anakin Solo's case, but definitely perhaps struggle or try to decide which direction they would choose to go, which clearly Kylo Ren has been doing in the new canon. So once again, These books are again aimed towards a younger audience, but they do have some elements that allow an adult like myself, or hopefully some of my listeners, to be compelled to read it just to kind of see whether or not it might be something that we could find connections to in the new canon. This book, once again, is an old canon book, and I doubt that you will find it at a bookstore very easily anymore, seeing as it is over 20 years old. But I have no doubt, and have actually already done some research, that you can find it on Amazon fairly inexpensively. I'm sure you could also find the set on eBay, though I have not looked there. But it is a relatively available book, so I highly recommend that if you are interested in digging into some of the old canon books, more specifically, if you are interested in digging into some of the books for your children or something along those lines, then I highly recommend the Star Wars Junior Jedi Knights book, The Golden Globe. I would like some feedback for this, whether or not you like the idea of Lando's luxurious library and the chance to kind of get a little synopsis and recommendation for books that I have enjoyed in the old canon and then probably eventually in the new canon as well. But like I said, my primary focus right now is the old canon so that I can really give it its attention it deserves. But, you know, you guys can always get in contact with me through Facebook, of course, with www.facebook.com/StarWarsTies. You can reach us there and give us some feedback. You can also provide us feedback through our email, which is StarWarsTiesPodcast@gmail.com. If you want to make it specifically feedback to the Lando's Luxurious Library segment, then feel free to use that as your subject line in the email itself. In addition to that, I'm hoping that in the next few weeks or months that we will be involving ourselves with a voicemail system, very much like the Turtle Flakes and many other podcasts have started to do with some sort of a voicemail system. And if and when that occurs, I'll make sure to provide the number so that you guys can call in. Like I said, I'm hoping to have that set up here in the next few weeks, maybe a month. And when that happens, you know, with Lando's Luxurious Library, I'm hoping that you'll be able to call in and either provide feedback on books that you have read or would like me to cover, or any of those things that might be just of interest to you. Like I said, I would appreciate some feedback. In addition to that, of course, you can always provide us feedback through iTunes or whatever podcast feed that you use by giving us a rating and a review. Our goal as a podcast, my goal as the host for this particular segment, is to provide you with as much opportunity to be involved and enjoy Star Wars in every way that it can possibly be enjoyed.
Would you get going, you pirate? Good luck.
Yes, Lando, I guess we've overstayed our welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to Star Wars Ties Presents Lando's Luxurious Library. This was the first episode of the series, and I certainly hope you enjoyed it as much as I have enjoyed recording it. I'm very grateful for the opportunity to share with you my passion for the old expanded universe in a mini-series kind of way. So to close out this awesome episode, I'm going to sit back, I'm going to relax, and I think each episode what we're going to do is I'm going to take an opportunity to fly away in a different starship from Lando's library. So since we are dealing with Yavin 4, and famous for Yavin 4 is the Battle of Yavin, I think today, since, you know, it is the inaugural episode, what better way to leave the Star Wars universe than my own personal Death Star. So, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoy your Death Star ride, and may the Force be with you.